What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Corey Vincent here, and this is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com, Corsair Gaming, and Antlion Audio. This show is going to be a little treat. We were promoting an event called the Sacramento Indie Arcade for the last couple months, and it all culminated with a live show that VGB, Corey, Aaron, and David Webb did live in front of an audience, giving away all sorts of cool stuff. We did an interactive Q&A session where we were giving out prizes, and we just want to thank the city of Sacramento, the independent game development community, the people who put on the event. It was such an amazing and impactful event for the community and future programmers of the world. So many kids we saw pick up an interest in programming. So this is the live audio from the show, presented by Orange Lounge Radio, our favorite local independent podcast that isn't us. So it was an honor to work alongside them. I think you're going to enjoy this week's episode, all that and so much more on this week's
Video Game Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang.
Video Game Bang.
Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
I want to turn it over to this talented group of fine young lads, because it's not about us, this segment. It is about another local podcast here, and we love supporting independent podcasters. Give it up for Indie Podcasters.
Yeah, that's your part.
Including these guys, Corey and Aaron from Video Game Bang. Take it away.
Thank you. All right. Are we live?
Yeah, you're
we're doing this? All right, so we are Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one indie gaming podcast, because these guys are no longer indie. These guys have made it, right?
Until I get to cash paychecks, I don't know about that. But.
Oh, yeah. Podcasting, you don't make much money, but you get to make up for it in hanging out at cool situations like this with my friends, Aaron Carter.
Hello, I am Sir Aaron Carter of the Video Game Bang.
And our number three man in the octagon thing, what is this?
It's a box.
It's a box.
It's a giant black box.
They've literally said it like five times.
I love the creativeness in when they decided to name the room. Like, black and it's a box.
It's a box. Yeah.
David Webb.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
All right. Nobody likes you. Awesome.
That's where I'm number three. Thank you.
Got
you.
One.
Thank
so
you.
Usually what we do on the Video Game Bang, of course, it's done two times a week. We go Wednesdays. We go weekends as well. We go over kind of the news and reviews of video games, all kind of pop culture, from movies to, you know, what is Hawkeye wearing this week, and, you know, all that type of stuff. But at cons, we do a little different, don't we?
We do. We like to make this an interactive experience where we want to shine a light on what you people... You people, geeks, nerds, whatever you want to call yourselves.
The views of Corey Vincent don't reflect Video Game Bang.
They, in fact, do, because this is my show, and it's a no-nonsense show.
Terrible.
So we want to talk about what you guys want to talk about, and in order to incentivize you guys, we give things away. So we got a lot of free stuff. We go to cons all the time.
Yeah.
They give us things, and we're like, I don't really need this, but let's give it out to the people.
Some pretty cool stuff, too, actually.
So let's... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say some stuff I might not give away.
You've been really eyeing those socks, aren't
you? The Transformers stuff. I like That's pretty cool.
So, who wants to be brave? Who's going to be the number one to ask any question you want?
And right there.
Oh, come on up.
Right off the bat.
Let's see. Shot right up.
Say right into the microphone, because this is being recorded.
My name?
You can say whatever you want.
Well,
hi.
Let's not
hi.
That,
everybody say hi.
Hi.
Now you made him forget his question.
Do you have a question? Come on, man. What's your favorite video game?
My favorite video game, it has to be Undertale.
Wow. Did you expect that?
No. Actually, I truly didn't.
What would you have expected?
Call of Duty. That's usually, I mean, kids his age, you know.
I like Call of Duty, but Undertale is just better to me because it's an RPG. I love RPGs.
Oh, wow.
That's David, do you know what Undertale is?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead and tell us the storyline, Ryan. Undertale.
Yeah, what did you think?
So a long time ago, there was a person with a tail.
You're done.
And they lived under things.
You're done.
So do you have a question that you think would be open for discussion, maybe in regards to Undertale?
Not really.
All right.
That's fair.
Cool. Let's give
that's
him something.
That's fair.
But that's how the game is played, ladies and gentlemen. He was brave. And for that, let's give him... No, that's for little. That's for babies, this one. That's, Transformers.
That's the one I wanted to keep, though.
Too bad. Should have been adorable.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I'll see you after the show.
Should have been adorable.
Wow.
Who's next? Anyone got a good question? Because there's a lot of stuff we're going through in the video game world, like DLC.
You know, one of the big things that's happened that I could rant for hours about is the cancellation of the game EverQuest Next. Does anybody know about that game? And I've had so many, somebody knows about it. Big conspiracy theory about that whole thing is that they had to kill that game because it would have messed up every other game in the industry and the way things are going right now.
You guys see Aaron standing before you
in
the mood lighting, and you could tell he's a suave, cool guy. He's got, I call him the Golden Voice Gangster. I call him the Senpai from Grant High.
If you know where that's at.
What else do I call it? I have a lot of names for him. Shmoopy.
And that's just racist, but go ahead.
Wow. And he has nerves of steel. You know, whenever we would be interviewing someone big, when our podcast started getting like guests, I'd be like, Aaron, we're going to screw it up and everyone's going to hate us.
Like Ashley Birch.
Ashley Birch. And then Aaron was like, no, it's cool.
Because I mean,
spot on impression.
Was it?
Thank
you.
They're human beings, right? Everybody's a human being. Why would you ever get all nervous and sweaty for another person?
Well, here's where that ends.
Two livers.
We went and did our first E3, and his first meeting was with the developer from EverQuest Next. I don't know if you've seen the guy. I'm sure he's brilliant.
Oh, he is.
The man has
a
ponytail.
Yes, he's brilliant.
To rival Joe Dirt.
Yes.
Aaron meets the guy, quivers.
I don't quiver.
Knees shaking.
Quiver.
I more give him the due respect that he deserved for coming up with such an amazing game. And if you haven't heard of EverQuest Next, it was supposed to be an MMO where you actually affected the world. Everybody, anybody played MMOs in here? Like anything. World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Now, in those games, have you ever felt like what you did really changed the entire world? Right? It's kind of what you do in a storyline, then something happens.
But EverQuest Next is different.
EverQuest Next
was supposed to be different.
How was it different?
It was supposed to be different because the quests that you did were actually going to change the world. So theoretically, if we were all on different servers, we would all have different worlds. Because maybe you did a quest where you build a town. Well, in my server, I didn't do that quest. And a lot of people didn't do that quest at all. So that town doesn't exist. So your world can look drastically different from my world.
What I was more fascinated with was like the way that the mobs were going to work. So they were going to throw out like a goblin, let's say. And the goblins like to kill things that are easy, low-level people. So they would walk, you know, a path. And if they would get killed a lot, the AI would be like, holy crap, you know, maybe we shouldn't be walking on this path. And they'd actually migrate to a different spot of the map.
Like,
so it was like learning you.
So you know exactly – you don't know exactly where they're going to be, you know, unlike other games where, you know, every time that you come by this tree, a goblin's going to jump out at you every single time. That's just how this has been coded. This one with the AI, you know, they go to where they're going to benefit themselves the most. And that could be potentially dangerous for other games.
But the game got canceled. Now I have to hear this stupid rant from
every single time
day
until I get something done.
It's a valid argument, though, because if you think about it, if they did that, then other game companies would have to go, oh, crap, well, they're doing it. So now we have to do it, and then that's where the conspiracy comes in.
So
that we
if you raise the bar, and everybody else is like, "Well, why doesn't World of Warcraft do that?" Then
so you think the Illuminati of MMOs just took them
out?
MMOs are like, this game cannot happen.
It cannot happen. So they killed it. They killed EverQuest Next.
Anybody have a question? Come on, let's go. We're giving away some stuff. We want to hear
right over here.
Come on over here, my man. Who's closest? Go over there, Whip.
You're good.
This is as far as I go. So.
Oh wow.
So my big question is, since, you know, the new VR tech's coming out already, how do you think more of the, you know, bigger companies like AAA companies like Activision, Blizzard, you think they're going to release something that's going to be competitive with all the VR tech that's going to be coming out. You know, I'm not expecting like the next Call of Duty or something like that, but you know, just something, or maybe like they'll make games that are going to be compatible with like Oculus or the Vive.
You want to take it?
I played a lot of the VR stuff at some of the different conventions, and I'm one of those guys who's just not going to be able to do it. I get sick too easy. The one game that I did was super cool because it was like on rails, and who's ever said, oh, this game is so cool, it's on rails, besides like Pokemon Snap. But we got cred with the VOG.
Pokemon Snap, yeah.
Yeah. So, but like that game was on rails and cool, but usually you're like, oh, rails, I want an open world. And
yeah, nowadays, yeah.
But in VR, I was like, whoa, this game's on rails. Whoa, look at that. That's a ceiling. That's a floor. Whoa. And then as soon as they gave me a controller and I moved, I was like, whoa. It was exactly, that's what's going
to
happen.
They have to figure that out to get him into the gaming world with all that first. It's kind of tough because I haven't seen a VR game that's just 100% VR from beginning to end. It's kind of, here's Halo and here's Halo with VR on it. And, you know, it's cool, but
it's limited.
Like, well, it's like baby steps, of course. This could be like the first thing, you know, it's just the headsets and the little controllers, but, you know.
But here's, like, here's the other thing. So you need a headset. And I don't know too many people that are just going to go out and be like, here's my Xbox or PlayStation or whatever you have. And then I have my headset and my friends come over and they want to play and they just sit and watch me look around. Or
yeah. Well, see me play this cool Oculus game. All right, here we go.
Like, that's one thing.
You see
that? Well,
oh,
but
no, you didn't.
But how many couch co-op games are there now without VR?
Not a lot of couch co-op
so
games.
So I don't think that's really.
But then what about, like I said before, the games that are actually dedicated to VR?
Right.
A few of those, like couch co-op ones. One of the examples is Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes.
I like that.
That's a good
one. That's a very good one.
That's a good example.
Yes.
Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
Plus with the VR experience.
That's not a VR game.
Oh, he said VR?
VR, yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like good couch co-op games. Because
you
bonded over Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
You may have bonded.
There was a connection.
Yeah, so there was a good example of that. You know, the one person has the VR headset on them. You know, they're looking at the bomb while the other three people, you know, they're flipping through all the pages of the PDF looking for, oh, okay, how do we disable this?
That game seems very hectic, too. I haven't got to play that yet, but it's one I do want to play, definitely.
All right, for asking your amazing VR question, a copy of Street Fighter 4 for the PC.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
The VR system, though, I think it's not perfected. We write for a website called nerdreactor.com. I did an article a few months back about this that I don't think the world is ready for VR just yet to be mainstream. I think what we expect, because we've all watched kind of like sci-fi and stuff like that, or what I expect, I should say, I won't put it on you yet. I expect to
don't
walk.
Don't you put that on me, Aaron.
I expect to walk into a room like this, you know, let's call it a holodeck. I don't know. That's a new word, right?
Did you come up with that?
Yeah, I think I did.
That's
I might try
should
like
patent
that.
That.
And then
mail
the environment
yourself.
Around you changes and you're moving through this environment. If you want to be in a jungle, you're in a jungle all of a sudden. There's NPCs everywhere. I think our imaginations want that when we put on the helmet and that type of interaction, stuff like that. But I don't think developers or technology is there just yet.
Who's next? Who got a question? All right, my friend, come on up.
Okay, so like without any like crazy hardware, like a VR or something like that, is there like a next big step in gaming left? Like, you know, can graphics get much better? Can there be much more stuff on screen? Or you kind of like reach limit to that and we kind of now need to go into stuff like he's talking about, like a holodeck or like, you know, a VR to get some kind of like big jump for like the next level?
I still
excellent
like
question.
I said, I can go hours.
That's a very
me.
Good question.
That is, yeah.
So I'm letting you.
To me, I don't see how. I don't see
what?
The next, really the next step, besides making the games themselves different.
That's where we have to start.
But the technology. Yeah.
That's where I want to say, like, yeah. That is important. But it feels like a lot of games today are doing some pushing the limits, so to speak, but they just don't bring the fun.
As soon as we, I guess, perfect gameplay mechanics to where they're like every across the board, this is the bar that every game should be at, and they're hitting that bar, then we can move on to the next step. But I don't think games right now are even I don't think there's a I don't know, like a lowest common denominator for everything, because you get crap sometimes. Look at Assassin's Creed that just came out. It released. Everybody likes Assassin's Creed. Well, some people like Assassin's
Everybody?
Creed.
Don't you put that on
But
me.
It didn't do as well. And it's just like either they were trying to rush it out. I mean, we just had a publisher in here before, right? And he said time is money, you know? And it's tough. We're at an indie con right now where they can use their imaginations and they can put whatever they want in the game. And a lot of these indie developers don't have to really worry about time too much. So they actually get to use their creativity. They don't have somebody above them saying, hey, we need the next Madden 2017 to come out now. So when more creativity is pumped into the gaming industry, then we can see the next step and stuff like that. Then we can get a holodeck, hopefully. But all right. Let's perfect what we have now.
For you, sir, this is actually a Christmas present I bought for Aaron, but I forgot to give it to him.
Wow,
so this is for you.
That's awesome.
You're welcome.
I have two people to see after the show, then. Right?
You know, this is really weird, like standing up and doing. Usually we sit down and there's them and there's us. I like this feeling where we get to
feel
stand
like
up.
I'm lecturing or something like that, like gaming 101. You know what the problem is with
like
video games?
Too.
Let me come out here.
Let's talk to the audience here for a moment.
But we.
What's your name, sir?
Wow.
Derek, do you play video games?
I do play video games.
All right, cool.
All right.
I like that.
Just like that. Like E3, we're going to E3 this year again for your third time, my second time, right?
But are you as excited as you normally are?
I don't think anybody's as excited as they are.
It feels like a job almost.
Yeah.
You got to go to E3. Like, and you may be thinking, oh, poor guy's got to go to E3. But like, it's changing. Like, it's less friendly for like the fan people. And for us, like, there's less things to see there. Like, EA isn't even showing
up.
And when EA takes a pass, that's saying something.
But it's tough because, I mean, a few years back, everybody was like, the big three. Who won the show in the big three? Was it Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft? More than a few years back. And everybody was all about the keynotes and stuff like that. But then, what, last year, the winner kind of was Bethesda.
Bethesda kicked ass.
You didn't even have a giant company, or not giant company, but one of the big three, you know, kind of be like, oh, they stole the show. It was kind of like Fallout. And then
that's why, though, because they said Fallout 4.
Yeah, they said Fallout 4, dropped the mic, and then walked off the stage. Yeah. But it's
Is someone groan? All right.
Well,
that's
no,
a good, let's get into that. Let's unpack that.
But that
for
was
a moment.
Beforehand. Now, I'm not saying, like, okay, yeah, that was the best game that ever came out. But before you even played the game and you got excited about Fallout 4, you saw that and you giddied up like a little kid. And, you know, we all wanted it to be the best thing ever. But, you know.
Fallout 4 was like another pivotal moment, because I'm sure, as these guys will tell you too, Orange Lounge Radio, is that especially when you're new and you make an opinion that's unpopular to people, it's kind of scary at first.
Like Batman and Superman sucks?
Well, see, we've gotten used to it. Now I don't care. Like, I'll say whatever, you know. Undertale sucks, kid.
Wow.
I don't mean that. I haven't played it, but, you know, I don't care. Like, I bet it is.
He said,
but
we kind of
hit that point where we're calloused, but recently, like, that's what happened. I wrote an article because I loved Fallout 3 and New Vegas. And then so I wrote an article. 4 came out, and I was disappointed. There was no – the survival mode was
bootsy.
Wasn't
there yet.
There was no karma system. Like, yeah. And I went out and said 5 things I don't like about the game. So much flame.
And the internet is ruthless. If anybody's ever posted a comment on the internet, you know that they can be very, very – very ruthless. Years ago, I said some things on the show that I don't regret. I don't regret.
How many of you guys play gamings on the PC? Play the gamings. PC gamers?
So I said some bad things about the
PC
Master Race.
I wouldn't tell the story, Aaron. That's a hint.
I say some things about the PC Master Race. Because, I mean, I'm more of the inclusion. Everybody. I like consoles. I like PC, handheld. I want everything. But they're kind of like, this is our club.
We are the world.
So whenever I said what I said about, you know, the PC gamers, and it wasn't really anything derogatory.
Yeah, it was. You said there were only 4 PC gamers in the world, and they all work at Dell.
First of all,
that is offensive. Nobody likes Dell.
Dell is a reputable company.
The
Their commercials are awesome.
The dude you're getting a Dell guy didn't even like Dell.
Well, he's on drugs. But they came at me on Twitter, and Corey, he texts me in the morning. He is like on Twitter.
Aaron, We got to end the show.
They're killing. And then I look at my phone, and I have 50 interactions on Twitter. And
every single one of them is calling you an idiot.
Just like the most worst things they can possibly find out. And they're like coming at me as hard as they can. So what I did in response was respond to every single one of those 50 comments. And we had a discussion. And that's
between you and us two. Because us two, we're like, oh, crap. Do we think we should release an apology? And
A discussion. Bring this is a discussion. Hi, how are you doing, David Webb?
I'm good. How are you doing?
How's the wife?
She's good. How's yours?
Mine's good, too. You find a job yet?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Did you play Fallout 4?
I did.
Kind of sucked.
Yes, it did.
All right. See you later.
Peace.
That's a conversation. That's a discussion.
I had a discussion with
them. These were not discussions. This was, you are dumb.
Yeah, it was a lot of...
You are an idiot. That's not a discussion.
It was a lot of that, but if I responded in the same way, then it would have, you know, devolved into some type of argument.
Anarchy. You're still dumb.
When they said, you're dumb, I was like, explain to me. And then they actually went into their ideas. Well, you're dumb because this is that. And if they couldn't explain... Then, of course, I wouldn't.
Then you'd say, you're dumb.
More. No, I wouldn't go
back.
That's
the day Aaron won the internet, everybody.
But I like it interesting because people online, they have ideas, they have thoughts, and they're valid sometimes. And other times, they're just trolls. You know?
40% of the time.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to get that type of thing because on the show, we like to have open discussions about all that type of stuff. You know, if the video game industry is failing in some areas, you know, they shouldn't be just like glossed over, oh, we'll get it right the next time. You know,
If the movie industry, DC is failing in some way,
killing my favorite characters, then yes.
Who's seen Batman v Superman?
Oh yeah, that's
who liked Batman v Superman.
You still want to see it? Is that what it is? You don't want any spoilers?
No spoilers.
Okay, all right. Batman dies.
Captain America wins. any more questions? This is fun. What do we got? You got a question? All right, my friend, come on up. Come back.
Pokemon related question.
Okay.
What do you think the next
Pokemon Wow. Sorry.
What do you think the next Pokemon game will be?
Besides the sun and
pick a color.
Moon. There's gonna be Pokemon heads or tails. That'll be out.
It's gonna be elements.
What was the most recent one? I miss it.
Pokemon.
The most recent one that's actually out to play is X and Y.
X and Y. So what comes after Y?
It's Moon and Sun, right? That's the next one they announced.
Moon and
Sun
is the next one.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Pretty much.
So we got Z. Z's going to come out. And Omega.
Oh, Alpha and Omega, I think they've done already.
They're going to start going to other languages.
Yeah, they're going to start going to different languages. You're going to have 50,000 Pokemons. How many you got now?
Like, what do you mean Pokemon? Like?
How many Pokemans?
How many Pokemans?
Just pick a number and that's how many Pokemans.
7,000
Pokemans.
I think this is another one though. This is another one that I wrote an article on, like five other ways they can not improve, but make other Pokemon games. Because they haven't released or said anything about a Pokemon Snap 2, right? No.
Pokemon Snap 2 Electric Boogaloo is the official title.
And we have fans clearly of it.
I love that we're suddenly the experts on all things Pokemon over here in the corner.
Snap news, you guys.
Yeah. But, like, if they did they already have the Pokken game. You know, it's a fighting game with nothing but Pokemon. But if they did, like, I don't know, Smash Brothers, Pokemon Edition, where every single character on there is just Pokemon, and then they fight it out. I'm pretty sure. Well, no, but see, Pokken Tournament is more of just like a Street Fighter type of thing as well, though. It's not. I'm talking about just literally take Smash Brothers and then put Pokemon skin over the whole thing.
You mean Pokken Tournament? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I literally just had the same thing said over there.
Here, this is something you need to watch. Okay, Pokemans is cool. Very cool. But Galaxy Quest is much cooler. So do you know what Galaxy Quest is? No. You do now. You go home, you rent that movie. Where's his parents? Get him that movie. Less Pokemans.
Did you just give him, what was that? A Galaxy Quest?
Patch.
Oh, okay.
He's going to put that on his backpack and be the coolest kid.
Yeah, he's going to come and punch you when he finds out what that is.
It's a decent movie.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Never surrender.
All right, now we got 30 minutes with that.
All right. Any more questions? Who wants to be brave, win something cool?
Uh-oh.
Oh, step up to the plate,
sir.
From
the shadows. Here.
So what do you think about the recent trend of games releasing with $60 of DLC day one?
I'm glad you asked.
How much time we got left?
I know, right? So that much time you got, buddy. It's
scandalous.
You got another one word for it?
No, that wrong. Sums it up.
it's wrong.
But the thing is, it's going to keep happening, and it's going to keep happening until we band together as gamers and say we're not going to buy it no more.
Yeah, vote with your dollars is what we always say on the show. If you don't like a trend happening, the only way to stop it is to not buy it, which is tough because there's a lot more of them than there are of you.
We are in the age of the fanboy, 100%. Like, the fanboyism out there, people are not looking and evaluating products as pieces of art anymore, and they're looking at them as like, oh, it's got a Star Wars on it, and it's got a Pikachu, so it's got to be good.
One was irritating was the Street Fighter release.
Well, no, that's okay. That's when it was okay.
No.
But
that game,
don't listen to Aaron.
No, stop that.
Let's talk Star Wars Battlefront.
No.
That's the better
Battlefront.
No, you know, because you knew Star Wars Battlefront was going
EA
to fail.
EA sucks.
No.
EA sucks.
But Street Fighter, you thought was going to be a good game on release.
It was a good game on release.
No, it was not. When we and I bought
how
this
much time
game.
Did you spend trying to get into a match?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You ran through the story mode in like 2 minutes. And they were talking about how, oh, we're going to do
that,
a story
that's justified,
mode.
Though, and I'll tell you why.
Why is it justified?
Because we just needed that game out so we can get good and go play in tournaments. No
if,
one plays
no,
Street Fighter and
no,
like, oh, the story
no.
mode in Street Fighter was, no,
no
one cares.
It's the this whole thing of releasing games.
I play Street Fighter for the story.
This thing for releasing games
said
and
no
then
one
having
ever.
A whole bunch of DLC is literally telling me you didn't finish this game and you want me to pay for the rest of it. After I've paid already the $60 that it's, you know, it costs. That's not right
but
at
Capcom
all.
Did the most un-Capcom thing ever, and you can actually buy things with in-game currency.
I like that.
That's cool.
I like that you can play the game to unlock characters as well, because they rarely do that ever in any video games nowadays.
I think that would kind of help solve that problem. Like, at least give us the option to unlock that kind of stuff.
Well, then how about you charge $40 for it day one if it's not finished?
Even if you got to like grind really hard to get it, though.
But it's not done. There was no possible way for somebody on the first night to unlock all these extra characters that are coming out, correct?
Yes.
So then charge me $40.
$40 isn't that's good to you?
That's four. Yeah.
That's $100. Games don't cost
no,
$64.
No.
$64 anymore.
Not the
no,
DLC 40 after
for
that.
The game.
$40 for the game.
Oh.
And so if I buy it now, $40 for the game.
Okay.
And I get that half game that came out.
Yeah.
And then he buys it 6 months later when all the DLC is out. He'll get the disc at $60 with all that DLC. A complete game.
Games,
that's
yeah.
valid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Battlefront is
Thank
a
you.
Good
Battlefront,
example
no.
of that.
Battlefront was terrible.
Terrible.
Did anybody play Battlefront and enjoy it?
Oh, look how quick the hand. Oh, wait. He enjoyed it.
He
she enjoyed
like,
it.
Woo!
See
nope.
in the dark there. They
They're
enjoyed
like, yeah,
it.
I'm going to stay in the dark,
yeah.
too.
Batman in the shadows really liked it. Oh, he's like, I will come face you.
The problem was Battlefront
wait,
came
wait,
out.
Wait.
Okay,
let's ask an important question.
Why?
First. No.
That's the important question. Why did you like
did
that
Did you?
Game?
Were you?
Oh.
That was kind of fun. Give him that. The prior, though, the other Battlefronts, 1 and 2, did you play those ones?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're just crazy.
Yeah.
Because how could you put out a game like
what?
10 years ago and the game is better than the one you just...
Oh, yeah, that's probably why I'm mad now.
I'm mad every day.
But there was another game, because it was it Pandemic that made the second one? I'm not sure. The company went debunked or whatever, but they released what they had, and it was like 90-something percent done. There was ground-to-space battle, seamless with no loading screen. You got all the same. Yes, the Battlefront that could have been.
See?
So when I see something like that, and then I see Battlefield... with a skin of Star Wars on it, that's upsetting. Because it's just like,
and
you
if you
had
say that's
game.
Not true. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, a Star
they
Wars battle.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
They should have called it Space Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Space
I'm
Wars.
I'm sold.
Space Duty.
That's the next one.
But that had a $60 DLC price tag as
For
well.
For having the courage to admit that he liked
it.
Some socks.
Nice catch.
Well, I mean, I am not a good thrower. It all went to the catching.
You're a catch.
Yeah.
I love how you caught it like Buster Douglas. Buster Posey?
I have no idea.
I don't watch. I don't sports.
You don't sports.
And then you throw like a little girl. It's funny.
Wow.
I mean, not that it's 2016. Women throw just as good as men.
Way to backpedal on that one.
Hey, we're in front of people.
Call that back.
Any more questions? That was a great question. Did he get something?
Yeah, he needs something.
There's a question coming in from online. You want to take an online question?
Yeah. I'd love it.
All right. We're going to go. This is actually one of our listeners in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Hola.
All right.
Well, we might go muy bien, racist over here.
Act Deft says, wants to know your guys' thoughts on localization. Considering that he is in another country, what do you guys think about the way, like, localization is progressing?
I think, as far as I know, I can only speak for stuff coming from overseas over here because I only see that trend. Like, I'm really big into free-to-play MMOs. And the ones in Korea are, like, amazing, right? But we have to wait, like, 7 years before we can get, you know, one sentence translated to English.
And it's all your base are belongs
yeah,
to
and
me.
It's, like, it's not the best translation
it's
sometimes.
Paraphrased.
And then sometimes we don't even get a Western release. I'm not sure if Mexico, if he's still listening, he's alive, right? I'm not sure if Mexico gets it the same time as North America.
My understanding is that they sometimes don't get it at all. He's got to import it, or he's got to, you know, figure out a way to get over across into Nogales or whatever the big city in America is near him, or he's got to find a way to get the game to him because Nintendo doesn't. There's no Nintendo of Mexico.
Does that make sense? That sucks. That's terrible.
Which brings us to our next point: Donald Trump's wall, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to hinder video gamers in Mexico.
You want
to play Mario?
Just gonna add that on to Trump. He's gonna do. I think. I mean, if you have the desire down there or the want down there for their games, then you need some type of translation down there. It's the same thing I feel with, like I said, my Korean games. I want it over here, and I know there's a following over here. Just bring them. You know, like Dungeon Fighter Online. That was one.
Wow.
One fan. Yeah. That
he was like, I wasn't listening up till this point. But
Black Desert.
Now you got me.
Black Desert Online. That's another big one that we're all waiting to get over here.
Were you actually able to log into Blood and Soul?
That new one? That's another one. Yeah. Or Blade and Soul? Blade and Soul. Yeah. All those games are over there.
I just knew it was BS.
Having fun. Yeah. It's,
that's why they're Orange Lounge Radio.
It's discouraging, though, when you have to wait, you know, 7 years for a game to come out in your general area. So it's definitely, it needs to be fixed, but I don't know what they can do. Maybe one giant governing body for video games all over across.
That's what everyone wants.
Yeah. Just one government.
One government.
Yeah.
One currency.
Exactly.
Under one God.
That was a good question. Yeah. We would totally give him a prize, but he's in Mexico, so.
Yeah. Localization
prizes,
localization. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Dark Soccer will take it on his behalf.
All right.
There you go.
If we can chuck a copy of Mario Kart over that wall, you know.
Wow.
Happy.
Aaron can't do it, though.
Aaron can't.
How well he
not like that.
No. No, I'm not the thrower.
We're moving towards, like, a singularity anyways, though. Like, now there's all those talks about true cross-platforming for online gaming.
That's
like,
crazy.
That might be a real thing.
Microsoft going out and saying they're, you know, they're open to opening their servers or whatever to cross-platform.
And it's working great on that amazing game, Street Fighter V. You know,
Let's not do that one. I could try.
Any more questions? Let's go, man. Let's do this. Let's get a new question.
The one
I love your questions. You're going to be back. Don't get me wrong. Come on up, man.
So sort of along the same lines, we've been seeing a trend of early access gaining more and more steam. And, like, there's plenty of games that do it really well, but also games that are literal cash grabs and they just take the money and run and leave you with a half-finished game. So,
can you give us an example?
DayZ.
Yeah.
What about a good one?
Factorio, Minecraft.
Very good.
He doesn't need any more. We get the idea.
Dark Soccer wanted to suggest. Sorry. Dark Soccer wanted to suggest Street Fighter V is a bad
example. Oh yeah, there you go. There you go. Very good.
It's the first time a Street Fighter game made me cry playing single player mode.
Thank you.
You know what? I was a fan of Orange Lounge Radio.
No, that's a bad trend. These questions are just gonna make
me
upset.
These are getting good.
Because I've purchased from Steam early access games, and they get you on the notion that, hey, this is what we're going to do, you know, and then they get your money and they're like, yeah, we're not really going to do all that. We just wanted your $15.
What's that, Mega Man ripoff?
Mega Man ripoff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how many times has that one got delayed?
Yeah, but that nobody is like buying that unfinished first, and then, you know, that's just like, hey, it's not out.
True
it's
that.
Not out. It's not out. Early access games, which are a big.
This what's the David
one?
Webb's
what's
Christmas
the new one that was on consoles as well, where you can throw your own poop?
You can do what?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what was it?
Ark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ark. Yes, you can throw your own feces in that game. So suicide or throw
suicide
your own
poop. Suicide or throw poop.
Okay. I guess we'll go with poop. But that game came out and it was unfinished and it seemed like it was going to be an amazing game. It was on a good engine. Now they're going through some legal troubles.
Fun fact, that's the only game I ever returned on Steam.
I returned that game on Steam too.
Did
that
you?
Was my first
oh my
return
gosh.
On
my
Steam.
Brother.
There it is. As long as you have a return feature for the early access games, I'm all down for it. But don't, I don't know, don't dangle the carrot in front of my face. And I don't know. It's I don't like the trend of it. It needs to die. But again, you have to vote with your dollars and don't buy into that stuff. So,
yeah, even Xbox got into it for a while. Like, that was their push at E3. Is like, look, we're doing early access games because they had The Long Dark as one of theirs. And I think one other one. And I was talking to the producer of that one. And I was, like, super happy for him because I was like, dude, you're at the Xbox booth, and this was an indie game. We were, like, one of the first shows they went on to talk about the game.
Oh, Van Lierop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, our first episode with NR, we got him, and he came on and talked, and a cool story there. But he comes on the show, and we talk about it, and I run into him at E3, and I'm like, dude, you made it. Like, you're at Xbox. This is it. He's like, yeah, just keep it down. You know, we're still going to try and get it out on all the platforms, but, you know, we're kind of just doing this Xbox thing.
But, I mean, we've had early access for a long time now. They were called betas, and they were free.
Yeah.
So why change that
now? Can I give
now?
Him his Christmas gift back? You actually got me worked up.
So let's do push towards betas now. That's the better idea. Let's do that.
I like that.
Any
what else
more
we
questions?
Got?
Yeah, I like it.
All right, man.
He's like, here's another one to piss you off.
What do you think about the Japanese Call of Duty Online and how that can be taken from Japan to America and how would that be translated?
Is like, that the one with the where they have like all the classic maps and stuff too?
They have the cyborg zombies and all that stuff and the enhanced multiplayer and this alien mode and it's really, really weird but cool.
I don't think I'm that familiar
with
that.
That explains a lot of stuff in Japan, honestly.
It's actually Chinese.
Robots, zombies.
Once you get like unrestricted internet access.
Or just have two nukes dropped on you and see how weird your people come out after
a while. Damn, son.
Sorry, that was kind of a little overboard.
I think we got to give him a big gift to never say that happened. Is there an edit?
I apologize.
Are we on a delay?
He's like, that's all live. Yeah, we did. I apologize. Japanese fans. Dark Sakura.
It's perfectly fine anyways. The game's Chinese, actually.
There we go.
Oh, see? So we're clear. All right.
But that is the one where they have the classic
we're
maps.
Yeah, they have the classic
right?
maps.
Everything
like,
didn't count.
Those are all the maps I love. Why can't we just have those?
They have the classic maps on there for the multiplayer. That one looks like it's going to be pretty fun. I would say move to China now. It's, you know.
A little crowded, but.
Fun. Yeah, a little crowded.
The games are good.
Yeah, but the games are there, yeah.
That Raph Van Lierop thing, when we were talking to him, like, it was one of our first interviews with, like, he was a major game dev who then went to indie, and so we were asking him questions, and one of them that, we were asking him, like, so what's the deal? How do you get a big game, and how do you make it? And I was like, okay, he's probably going to say something like, follow your heart, or your dreams are the eyes of the soul for your windows for your games to be good.
I hope he didn't say it like Yoda.
He ended up being, like, social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, put your game on Twitter, man, because there's a bunch of games that are going to be better than mine, but you'll never hear about them. I was like, that's real.
And he fell in. That's where they fell in love.
Yeah.
Little known fact, everybody. That's where they
he said yes.
Love. Yeah. Any other questions? You, sir, in the dark?
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, split screen, and do you think it should be incorporated into more modern games today?
So couch co-op.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so. I mean, some of my best memories as a kid playing video games were just playing with my friend right there, you know.
To quote the great Stone Cold Steve Austin, oh, hell yeah.
The great? No, yeah, it shouldn't go away. Like that's a staple in video game industry.
Like when it went away from Halo was sad. Like I loved Halo and I always would like when we'd talk about bad first person shooters, me and Aaron and on the show for many years, I was like, but Halo, right? They stuck to their guns. And
then they betrayed you.
Then they're like, no, we want to hit 1080 frames per second, and you know we want to hit these benchmarks. So
it's one or the other.
It's one or the other. We can't do both.
And we're not
ran at Red Bull, so...
We 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. We're not really game developers, so I'm not sure how taxing it is to add that in there, but I don't think it should be. So
it's
just
not.
Throw it in there and then give us the option at least instead of taking it away. Want to do the big one?
Yeah, we should do the big one. So there's that for you, and then I love all of you equally. Let's start off by saying that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But.
It's not you.
It's not you. It's more of him. I kind of grilled him. He's a small kid. You always got to go with the kid who asked a bunch of good questions, right? So I'm voting for young man. Your name? Elijah Campbell.
Elijah
and
Campbell.
And see how he said that, too? Like, that damn is, right. Yes. You better remember the name.
If he had a mic, he would have dropped
50% luck and 90% skill.
So he's the grand prize winner?
I'm Elijah Campbell.
Yeah.
Does anybody disagree with that? Come on.
Anybody?
Give him a round of applause.
Grand
he's
prize
a good
winner.
Kid.
All right.
That's what this event is all about.
Come on up here.
Come on up.
So your prize today, sir, is?
A stream kit.
So you got some headphones there, professional studio standard quality, and from Antlion, a mod mic. So what this thing is... You're just going to strap it right onto your headphones. You don't need to buy anything extra. Plug it in, and you'll have high-quality microphone right there for you.
The Elijah Campbell Show coming.
Watch
we were
out.
Here when it started.
Twitch 2016.
Yes.
You might want to change your name to, like, PewDiePie or something, though, because I think that has a better ring to it. Well, thank you guys so...
Oh,
wow,
say
never
so
say
short,
that,
man.
Sir.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Elijah Campbell Show. Yeah!
Exactamundo.
Thank you guys all so much for hanging out and, you know, making some laughs. We're all about the laughs.
Tip your waiters.
Tip your waiters. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/videogamebangbang. Twitter, @videogamebang. We do a Patreon.
Twice a week.
Twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays on Twitch.
Yep.
And this is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Anything I forgot?
Is there a booth downstairs because we have more giveaways?
Oh, yeah. We have more giveaways.
You can enter to win raffles. So right when you walk in the main area, it's off to the right.
And big thank you to Orange Lounge Radio for emceeing this awesome
much.
Event.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Surreal.
Thank you for being here. Give it up, everybody. Video game bang.